Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, amigos. You know what's really easy to do and even easier to forget? Please help me out and hit that like button if you're listening on YouTube. And if you're listening somewhere else, what the hell? Pop in, give me a thumb. Say hello while you're at it. It helps me a ton with the algorithm. And besides, it's real nice to see you there. And now, on to the show. Welcome back, amigos. I'm sure glad you popped in. First of all, happy Native American Heritage Day. Second of all, Chester, are you seriously wearing a headdress right now? How's it even staying on there? You barely have a head. Well, let's go in, friend. I sure hope he didn't eat an Indian to get that thing. If he did, I don't want to know about it. All right. So, check out SimplyScaryPodcast.com and click the Patrons area button. For as little as $5 a month, you can have our entire catalog ad-free and available to download or stream. It also makes you a fancy elitist. Small price to pay to claw your way out of proletarianism, I feel. Whatever in the fuck proletarianism is. Jeff, I bet you just wanted to see if I could pronounce that. Prick. In any case, tonight we've got a story from author Jackson Arthur. That's author Jackson Arthur, by way of our friends at Velox Books. In this one, the world is going to hell, and our protagonist is rocking out to the very end. So, without further delay, from author Jackson Arthur, I give you Enter Bahamut. Enter Bahamut. As I rushed down Center Avenue, I kept my eyes pointed straight ahead instead of letting them wander toward the sky. There was enough to worry about at street level without being overwhelmed by the activity of the heavens. I was running late, and what was going on above me would have to wait a little bit longer. Without slowing, I adjusted my earbuds, then pulled out my cell phone. I shuffled through my downloaded music and picked the fastest, most heavy song, Bloody Fucking World by Jesus Slayer Moses. The cell towers were down, but I had enough pirated metal to last me for ages, or at least until the grid failed completely and my cell finally lost power. Ages? What the hell was I thinking? Ages might have come and gone, but the world didn't have days left, let alone ages. Maybe the reality of the moment hadn't sunk in yet. Or I was in denial about what was happening. I pushed play and then returned the cell to my pants pocket. The heavy power cords and high-speed riffs overpowered my ears, drowning away the distant sirens and far-off gunshots. Over the past 24 hours, the world had finally broken, devolving into madness unparalleled by anything in recorded history. At first, when the news broke, everyone seemed to hold their breath. The human race had gone still, watching and waiting and hoping that it was all just a terrible dream. It was not a dream. And when that reality set in, denial crumbled and panic took over. Like a stampede of startled cattle, masses of people started crushing everything in their paths. Too frightened or angry to see the irony of destroying a world that was already doomed. Smoke touched my nose, a putrid mixture of hot ozone and burning wood. The blunt smell battered my senses and I nearly stumbled. Pillars of smoke filled the horizon in all directions, but the fire I smelled was too strong to be far away. Buried deep in the smoke was a sharp, sour odor, like a cooking animal, and it made me gag. As if on cue, a massive fire engine roared onto the street, followed by two military trucks. The National Guard had moved in just after the outbreak, taking over where our local police had failed. Even the might of the United States military appeared small and meek in the shadow of global terror and destruction. Not even a gentle word from my father's God would soothe the situation, because the world's brain had completely snapped. Who was I kidding? The world was never sane, and if God actually existed, he or she or it had left us a long time ago. For eons, we've been a flock without a shepherd, lost and roaming helplessly through the wilderness. Only a matter of time before something came along to devour us like the livestock we have always been. The three vehicles raced in my direction, forcing me from the road. Hitting the sidewalk, I took a swift turn onto Concord Street, but then immediately regretted it. 100 yards ahead, nearly half a dozen soldiers had gathered a group of civilians. The civilians were on their knees, their hands seemingly bound behind their backs. An ominous energy crackled in the air, and I immediately wanted to be somewhere else. One of the soldiers, most likely the ranking officer, was shouting something. I could see his wide mouth frantically opening and closing. He was clearly giving orders. I didn't need to hear the words to figure it out. Once those commands were dictated, the other soldiers raised their rifles toward the civilians. Luckily, no one seemed to have noticed me, giving me enough time to sidestep into an adjoining alley. I didn't hear the gunshots, but I felt the vibrations in my chest. From the moment the National Guard showed up, everything went from bad to worse. The soldiers were obviously just as scared as everyone else, which made them as dangerous as the loonies that were pillaging and burning. I don't know who those civilians had been or what atrocities they might have done, but they didn't deserve to be shot in the streets like rabid dogs. Society was clearly failing on both ends. I've lived in the same town my entire life and knew how to navigate the maze. Left, right, right again. By slipping between a few local businesses, I bypassed the massacre and returned to my original direction. As I made one final left onto Ridge Road, the next song started playing, and it was one of my favorites. March of the Uber Beasts by The Cannibals Are Hungry. The double-pedaled bass drum slammed in rapid succession, boom, 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 and I matched my steps to the rhythm. The tempo was around 250 beats per minute, forcing me to run faster in order to keep up. When I finally made it to the First Church of Christ, a dramatic exhale escaped my lungs. Rushing up the concrete steps, I reluctantly paused at the building's entrance. Before entering the white two-story house of the Holy, I gave in to my curiosity and raised my eyes. The sun was a golden ring of heat and light, and the heavens were painted the most spectacular shade of blue. There wasn't a single cloud in sight, but the sky wasn't entirely clear. At the center of my vision, like a mass of concentrated evil, was the enormous asteroid that had already destroyed the world. Even during the daytime, the broad indigo tail was bright enough to be viewed with the naked eye. It was actually kind of beautiful, as looming death might sometimes appear. Someone touched my shoulder, startling me from my thoughts. Simultaneously, I tapped my earbuds, silencing them, and turned around. The somber face of my father was inches away, his green eyes glossy from recent tears. Unlike me, my old man wasn't prone to denial or escapism. While I could easily get lost in the mayhem that was metal, he lived solely on solid ground, stuck in the bullshit that was reality. He could handle it, though, because my father was the toughest person that I've known.
"You're late," he gruffed. "Everyone is waiting."
"I'm sorry," I apologized. "I had to take a few detours along the way. The National Guard are everywhere. They have a bunch of buses parked over by the school. I think they're rounding people up and shipping them off. Where do you think they're sending them?
Nowhere good, he replied. Betty Williams heard that camps are being assembled on the north side of the lake. No point. It won't help. Unless they're putting those people a few miles underground or shipping them off to another planet, it doesn't really matter. Nowhere is safe anymore. Like Pastor Richard says, the wrath of the Lord has come. And our God is a consuming fire. Nothing will be untouched by his flame.
I didn't reply. Faith was always strong in my father, even after we lost my mother to cervical cancer. While my kind and wonderful mother was dying a slow and miserable death, my father never thought to blame God, and he never once missed Sunday Mass. In fact, his relationship with the glorious deity strengthened during those dark times. It pissed me off, but we all deal with grief in our own ways. My father has never judged me for the black clothes, tattoos, and piercings that I so proudly flaunt. He loved me no matter what. My old man may have believed in fairy tales and mythological magic, but that's all right with me. A black low-flying helicopter suddenly appeared overhead, the shifting air rustling my shaggy hair. It moved slowly, most likely doing a sweep of the overall town. Did it notice us? I wasn't sure, but I didn't want to wait and find out. There might have been a time when the presence of a military chopper conjured feelings of safety and protection, but much like the era of order and civilization, those days were long gone. Let's head inside, I insisted. They're a little too nosy for me. My father agreed, opening the door. Once I was through, he followed behind, making sure that the front entrance was closed and locked.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I immediately hung back, allowing him to lead the way through the shadowy church. Memories flooded my brain as we moved toward the pews. The sound of my grandmother's fiddle during Easter Mass. The smell of overcooked barbecue and freshly mowed grass. The sight of my mother's shriveled body in a cheap wooden coffin. On that day, I swore to never step foot in that church or any other church ever again. If God was real, I'd rather burn in hell, surrounded by fire and thrash metal, than worship at his bullshit altar. God had taken the person that I loved the most in the world, and I would never return to his so-called holy house. To be honest, it's kind of funny. It only took a mountain falling from the sky to drag me back. For a brief moment, I considered starting another song so that the insanity of heavy chords and violent lyrics would mask the madness in my head. But there wasn't any point. No matter how loud the music played, no matter how aggressively the singer growled, numbing myself was becoming increasingly difficult. When metal failed, what would I have then? Where is everyone? I asked, noticing all the seats empty. I thought they were already here.
Downstairs, my father replied, his steps never slowing. Basement.
I nodded, more for myself than him. It made sense. In the First Church of Christ, the worshiping happened upstairs in the pews while everything else came together beneath the surface. Bingo, boy and girl scouts, food drives, charity auctions. It was where the community interacted and enjoyed each other's company. Mothers, fathers, husbands, wives, children. We were all a family in the church basement. A small white door to the right of the altar opened on a set of concrete stairs. Our footsteps echoed as we headed down. Even before the basement, I could feel tension and desperation in the air, like a thick humidity. It was sticky, uncomfortable. Everyone was gathered in a tight group at the center of the long room. Some were sitting around long tables. Others were standing. There weren't as many people as I had expected, maybe a dozen or so, but I recognized each and every face from my childhood. No one seemed to notice our arrival at first. Their eyes were aimed at the 50-inch television hanging from the far wall. Instead of announcing our presence, my father and I found empty chairs at the back of the crowd, our attention immediately grabbed by the television. Somehow, in spite of the collapsing world, Fox News was still broadcasting. Live video of the plummeting asteroid took up the entire screen. The black rock resembling an ebony-colored egg, over 60 miles wide. Through the close-up view, I could see every bump and crater. Across the bottom, a scrolling banner read, "Bahamut arrives. The end is here." Fox News was being their normal uplifting and optimistic selves. Bahamut. That was what the U.S. government named the giant rock that was going to kill us all. In certain mythology, Bahamut was a sea serpent that supported the earth from underneath. In other stories, Bahamut was a massive and powerful dragon deity, a symbol of justice and strength. It was fitting because the planet ending asteroid kind of resembled a dragon. Its neon tail was even more vivid in 4K resolution. But it was also ironic. In most versions, Bahamut was a god of protection and honor, a savior to be worshipped, while our Bahamut was a monster that has come to devour everything and everyone.
"Where are they?"
A voice emanated from everywhere all at once. Everyone's head pivoted toward Pastor Richard, who had suddenly appeared, as if from thin air. He was wearing his ceremonial robes and looked exactly the same as when I was a kid.
"Huh? Where are all the loudmouth broadcasters? Huh? They're probably hunkered down in their bunkers already, hoping to ride out the unavoidable apocalypse while the rest of us suffer."
As he continued speaking, the pastor slowly made his way toward the television.
"I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but there ain't a hole deep enough to save their sorry asses. The end of days has finally come. No doubt about it. Like the Lord told us long ago. And the great dragon was thrown down, the great serpent of old who is called the devil and Satan. He who deceives the whole world was thrown down to earth. Revelations 12:9. Well, the great serpent is here. Just look to the sky and you will see it."
Grabbing the remote from a nearby table, Pastor Richard turned Fox News off.
"The devil, Satan, has been thrown down to the earth."
"Amen,"
my father whispered next to me.
"And God help us."
Even if I disagreed with the religious aspects of Pastor Richard's statement, the overall truth of what he was saying was undeniable. The piece of space rock headed our way was not the devil or Satan, but it was bringing about the end of days. Before worldwide panic had fully set in, when people were still watching and waiting and hoping, the experts laid down the cold hard facts. By the time the asteroid was discovered, it was too late to rally a defense. There simply wasn't enough time. The impact would take place somewhere in Central Europe, obliterating almost everything from Asia to Africa, like an atomic bomb destroying half of the world in an instant. For those who survived, Bahamut would throw up a tremendous plume of dust that would engulf the entire planet, block out the sun, and slowly suffocate anyone that was left. I knew the initial wave of destruction would not reach my little corner of existence, but nothing would save us from the slow, agonizing death that followed. My heart raced, my thoughts blurred. Panic was setting in. I needed music. I needed to be numb. Something touched my hand. My father's fingers entwined in mine, and I was able to breathe.
"It's going to be okay," he said,
and I believed him.
"It is the end of all things,"
Pastor Richard continued, fury and vigor filling the tone of his words, making them sound almost like music.
"Not for us, though. We will survive this tribulation. But this is only the first test of the Lord's wrath. There will be more, many more, and things will get worse and worse with each of them. Our water will become poisonous. Our sun will be blotted from the sky. We will choke. We will starve. We will war and murder our fellow man for the few scraps available. Bahamut's arrival, Satan's arrival, is only the catalyst to our suffering."
Amen. Amen.
Several people murmured, including my father.
"We are the Lord's people,"
Pastor Richard went on.
"We should not be left to suffer the wrath of our King. We should be joining our beloved in the afterlife, in heaven."
I pictured my mother. Not how she had been during those final days, but how she was before the cancer. She had been vibrant, full of life, a force of nature. She would have put herself in between the asteroid and us, stared it down, and scared the space dragon back to wherever it came from.
"Then we who are alive,"
Pastor Richard proclaimed,
"who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. For some, the rapture will happen in a flash of light and sound. For us, however, the rapture will come in another form."
Without another word, the pastor disappeared into the basement small kitchen, where food and drinks were often prepared during community events. He wasn't gone long, his absence nothing more than a period between two sentences. When he reemerged, the pastor was carrying a round metal tray holding several rows of small cups. I could see the red liquid through the thin paper of the tiny white cups. Slowly, Pastor Richard approached each person and allowed them to take one.
"The blood of Jesus,"
the pastor preached,
"his son, purifies us from all sins."
"I can't do this," I whispered, my breath catching. Pulling my hand away from my father, I battled the urge to run.
"I can't. It will be okay,"
my father assured me in a low voice.
"Trust me. This world is about to be over. Would your mother want us to suffer?" "No, Robbie, she wouldn't. Your mother is waiting for us. Waiting for her family. Don't you understand?"
"Yes, no.
I don't know."
Confusion swirled around in my head.
"Isn't suicide a sin?" "This isn't suicide,"
he assured me.
"This is salvation. Like Pastor Richard said, this is rapture. Go ahead, son, and turn your music back on. It will all be over soon."
Rapture, salvation. Those words meant nothing to me. I didn't believe that my mother lived somewhere in the clouds, where she existed in a constant state of peace and tranquility. That was all fiction and fairy tales, bullshit filled with magical thinking. But I believed in Bahamut. It was real. I could see the damn thing with my own eyes. And the world that it would create for me would be just as real. No more light. No more clean air. No more clean water. No more peace or safety. My father was right about one thing. My mother would never want us to suffer the fate that was about to be thrust upon our world. Did that make us all cowards? Possibly. It damn sure didn't make us martyrs. What did it matter anyway? Die now or die later? no one would judge me, no matter what Pastor Richard and my father might say.
The power of the blood of Jesus,
the pastor continued.
The word of God and the name of Jesus are the believer's weapons of defense against the devil. We are...
I heard enough. Tapping my earbuds, Pastor Richard was instantly drowned out by the sudden onslaught of metal. Skull Fucked for Eternity by Twisted Clowns began playing. It was instant madness, a sudden wall of musical mayhem without any build-up or intro. The vocals sounded like an animal had fallen into large, rusty gears and was being mangled into gore. It was the perfect song to embody the torturous war that was raging in my mind. Live and suffer, or die a coward. I didn't want either option, but I had no other choices. As the song climaxed into an orgasm of rage and apocalyptic tantrum, Pastor Richard extended the tray of cups toward my father and I. His lips were moving, but I had no intention of hearing any more from him. My mind was made up. He could take the rest of his sermons and shove them up his ass. My father took his cup first, and then I grabbed mine. We both drank.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The wine was sweet, slightly fruity, but there was another flavor down below. Like the odor that had been buried in the smoke, the taste was sharp and sour. Instinctively, I gagged a little, as if my stomach revolted against the decision. Instead of allowing my body to purge the poison, I focused even harder on the music in my ears. I breathed long and shallow, clearing my mind of everything but the violent rhythms. The song changed. As if cued up by the deadly situation, the greatest tune ever made surged through my ears. Not only was it my favorite song, but it was the first song that introduced me to the power of metal. On the day that my mother was put into the ground, I was beyond lost. She had been my anchor, my gravity in life. And that gravity was gone. Without her, I was unhinged from everything and everyone, about to float away into the ether. I remember it clearly. I had been walking aimlessly around town, unsure what to do with myself, when I heard a powerful and heavy sound, like a boulder rolling down a mountain. A little red car was driving toward me, and the bass that poured from it was like an epiphany. It put weight back into my bones. It put strength back into my muscles. Before I knew it, I was flagging down the car, asking the confused gentleman about the song. "Twisted Bones," he said, by a band called Death. I'm not a religious person, like I have said, but it was like the song had been sent directly from the heavens at exactly the right moment, saving my soul. I've listened to it every single day since, and it would be the last song that I would ever hear. Suddenly, the entire basement shifted, eerily tilting on an unseen axis. Pain replaced the nausea in my gut, a stabbing agony that tore at my insides. I hunched over as if the movement and bending would ease the pain. Several of the others around me bellowed a low, distressful moan, the same affliction possibly tormenting them. The wobbling of the basement increased dramatically until it was spinning freely around and around. Glancing over at my father, I noticed an expression of terror and regret on his face. He met my gaze as if apologizing with his eyes. My vision blurred and I lost him in the static. Weakness filled my hurting body, and I found it hard to stay upright in my chair. Every ounce of strength was leaving me. Several dull, meaty thuds echoed throughout the room as people began to fall. I tried grabbing onto my favorite song, using it for courage and strength, but it too began to fade. The volume sank lower and lower as consciousness left me. I held on to life for as long as I could, but the poison was working fast. As my world turned black, I fell forward and struck the concrete floor. The music died, and so did I. I'm not sure how long I was gone. Seconds, minutes, hours, I don't know. But the return was a shock to the system. My eyes flew open. My lungs instantly filled with air. Music returned to my ears, a song I didn't immediately recognize. The sound was like daggers to my brain, forcing me to rip the earbuds away and stuff them into the pocket of my pants. Had the poison failed? No. We had all died. The memory of dying was like a fleeting dream, simultaneously real and fantasy. I had existed, and then I hadn't. And then I existed again. Unsure what the hell was happening, I pushed myself from the hard floor. Looking around, I could see others also returning from wherever death had taken us, with similar bewildered expressions on their faces.
"We have risen!"
Pastor Richard's voice came from somewhere on my left.
"We were dead, and we have risen. Praise the Lord! Praise Jesus! We have risen indeed!"
Ignoring the jubilant pastor, I reached for my father, who was also reaching for me. Our hands met and entwined once again.
"What happened?"
"I don't know,"
my father replied. And then he surprised me.
"This wasn't God, was it?"
I shook my head. He was right. Somehow I knew without a doubt. We had come back from the dead, but it wasn't the work of any Christian God. My thoughts were clear, but a strange sensation lingered in the back of my mind. An unnatural murmur hiding in my thoughts. It felt alien, like a splinter beneath the skin. An unexpected urge forced me to stand, and I made a mad dash toward the television. Grabbing the remote, I hit the red button and turned it on. The familiar black rock filled the screen, but something had changed. Through the satellite of Fox News, I could clearly see giant fissures had formed across the surface of the asteroid, massive cracks that had not previously been there. Mystified, I watched those fractures spread and widen. Was Bahamut breaking apart? No. Something else was happening. But what?
"Something's wrong."
I recognized the voice of Mrs. Bernstein.
"I'm scared."
"It's all right, Patricia,"
Pastor Richard chimed in.
"No need to be frightened. Everything is going to be okay. We have risen unto the Lord. We are of his chosen flock, and he has saved us with his merciful hand. Don't you see? Death will no longer touch us. Death will no longer have his day. We are about to join our Lord in the land of milk and honey, where we will exist forever and ever. Don't you see? Don't you feel him?"
"I feel him,"
I replied, my attention still focused on the television.
"But it's not God."
"He's right,"
my father agreed.
"Of course it's God,"
Pastor Richard argued.
"Only the Lord has power over life and death. Who else would it be?"
"Him,"
I said, pointing to the screen. Layers of the fractured asteroid peeled away, revealing an impossibility hidden beneath. It was an egg after all, or a cocoon of some kind. Bit by bit, the creature within became exposed, and the sight of the curled abomination was horrifying. Its features weren't immediately discernible, but the immense size of the behemoth gave me chills. As if growing impatient, the monster straightened itself, breaking free of the disintegrating shell. Massive black wings unfolded, stretching out wide and long, displaying an immense body covered in dark black scales. Muscular arms and legs bent and extended, as if moving for the first time in eons. From its rear, an indigo-colored tail swished back and forth like a leathery whip. Whether by luck or divine foretelling, whoever had decided on the name Bahamut had been spot on. The giant dragon opened its enormous mouth and howled, but the scream was lost in the vacuum.
"What is that thing?"
someone asked.
"What is it?" "It's the devil,"
Pastor Richard proclaimed.
"Like I said, Satan is on its way, but the Lord has saved us."
From somewhere behind me, my father spoke up.
"God didn't save us, Pastor. That's the truth, and you know it."
He sighed.
"There's a little voice in the back of my mind. Do you hear it too? Does anyone else hear it? It's the creature, Bahamut, or whatever its name really is. And it's speaking to me. I couldn't understand what it was telling me, not right away. But the words were getting clearer. It wants us to know that our world is now theirs. We are now theirs, and only they will decide who may live and who may die. There isn't any point in fighting, and there isn't anywhere to run."
"They?"
Pastor Richard asked.
"What do you mean by they?"
As I continued staring at the television screen, over a dozen more asteroids suddenly appeared in the background of the live feed. They were still intact, but would start breaking apart as well. Digging a hand in my pants pocket, I retrieved my earbuds and phone. I tucked the little speakers back into my ears and then quickly found my favorite song again. Twisted Bones replayed at full volume, drowning everything out. I ran toward the basement stairs, ready to break free of the church and its shell of bullshit. Once outside, I looked toward the blue sky, spotted Bahamut, and thought about my mom. I never believed in an afterlife, but a small part of me always wanted to be wrong. What if Bahamut and the rest of them never allowed me to die? Never allowed my father to die? Would we ever see my mother again? With my sights focused on the heavens, I waited for our new gods to arrive. And that was Enter Bahamut by Jackson Arthur. A little about the author, the guy who wrote the story. After being brutally mauled by a dog as a toddler, Jackson Arthur grew up with a stutter which caused him to be socially awkward. Instead of interacting with people, he chose to hide his nose in books, causing him to fall in love with fiction. At an early age, he began to read Goosebumps and Fear Street, before graduating to more adult novels like The Stand and The Green Mile. His love of scary stories blossomed into the desire to scare people himself. Jackson Arthur currently lives in Ohio with his wife, daughter, and mean cat. If you enjoyed this story, be sure to visit VeloxBooks.com and pick up his book, The Temple of Battered Bones, also available on Audible. Help our pal Jackson feed that mean cat. I hear he's insatiable, just like my scaly prick. Not that I don't have a scaly I'm talking about Chester.
And do old Drew Blood a favor, would you? Subscribe to his podcast wherever you do your listening and leave him a 5-star review and a kind word, even if you're listening on YouTube. He needs soldiers on all fronts to win this battle, and he appreciates it. To hear a premium ad-free edition of tonight's and all the other episodes, visit simplyscarypodcast.com today and click Patrons in the upper menu. You'll find yourself at chillingtalesfordarknights.com, where you can become a patron for as little as $5 per month and get access to their entire audio archive, all ad-free and available to download or stream. Thank you for your time and for supporting our sponsors. When you support our sponsors, you support this show. If you happen to use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube, you can follow and subscribe to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights there, where you'll get all the latest updates and new releases and have the chance to interact with them each and every week. Oh, and you can find Drew Blood on Facebook and Instagram, and sometimes Twitter. The Drew Blood's Dark Tales podcast is accepting submissions, friend. If you've got a story or two you'd like to be featured on the show, send it to drewbloodhorror@gmail.com. If selected, you'll get the full treatment, 10 bananas.
Well, I'm afraid this is where we part ways, at least till next week. So grab a drink for the road, friend. If you see an Indian fella out there missing his headdress, just keep the whole Chester thing to yourself, would you? I don't need the heat. Thanks. So may the wind be at your back, and may the road rise up to meet you. Hitting the like button, they say, plants a seed of goodwill that lasts a lifetime. Not a bad deal, huh? Well, also, go fuck yourself. Good night, amigos. Buenas noches.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.